One of the places that sustained the most damage from Hurricane Isabel last week was the island town of Hatteras Village, North Carolina. The storm's tidal surge demolished more than 60 homes and businesses, damaged most of the rest, and severed the only road off the island. The town's 300 residents face a long rebuilding process, NPR's Adam Hochberg reports.
Even in the best of times, Hatteras Village is one of America's most remote places. The picturesque community is at the tip of the North Carolina Outer Banks, some 30 miles into the Pamlico Sound. Now the area is even more remote. Isabel sliced the island in two, cutting off Hatteras Village from the bridge that leads to the mainland. The only way residents can get here now is by boat. The Hatteras Village boat dock survived Hurricane Isabel, but much of the town did not. The storm sent a powerful wall of seawater into beachfront homes and businesses, ravaging anything in its path. While nobody was injured on the island, property damage was catastrophic.
They started calling this place Ground Zero yesterday, and I mean, everything here is pretty much toast.
Jane Metacarpa's restaurant, a cement and brick building, blew apart in the storm, leaving little that's recognizable besides a black and white tile floor. Neighboring structures didn't fare much better. One house collapsed into a sinkhole, another is floating in the sound, and a hotel that used to be across the street from Metacarpa's place now sits in the middle of the road.
There's homes on top of homes and motels on top of restaurants, and I mean, we just found a 1,000-pound stove of ours a block over. It's a sad sight for all of us.
Because of its precarious location, Hatteras Village has a lot of experience with destructive storms. 10 years ago, Hurricane Emily damaged dozens of buildings here, and a 1933 hurricane sliced the island in two the same way Isabel did. Yet even longtime islanders say they've never seen this much destruction. John Hooper is a county commissioner.
We have people where their homes are just, I mean, some of them they can't even find traces of. They don't know where their home is, and a lot of them were damaged, and a lot of them were flooded. You know, when you have to deal with the floodwaters, it makes it a very tough issue.
Natasha, bring me some gloves.
Joy and Durwood Willis are having to deal with floodwater in their house. About 13 inches came in, ruining the carpets, the linoleum, and almost everything else.
The floors are damp. It'll take weeks for them to dry out. The venting will have to come out. And the couches, the bottoms are all wet, so we're probably going to end up tossing those. Pretty much this is what you see.
As residents here put their homes back together, state construction crews literally are trying to put the island back together. They're dumping sand in the 1,700-foot gap that Isabel cut so they can reconstruct the highway. The job's expected to take at least 6 weeks, and until then, residents will have to rely on boats and helicopters to bring food, drinking water, and other necessities.
Thank you, Steve.
Steve Evans reopened his pharmacy this week with a fresh supply of prescription drugs carried over by boat. Evans lost his whole inventory when the tidal surge hit his store.
When the water rushes in, I still don't understand how it can shift things around. Things that were on the other side of the store are now here, and vice versa. There were things that were sitting on this shelf that was in the back of the store. I'm just glad I wasn't in here.
Still, despite the damage and the daunting task of cleaning up, Evans has no plans to leave Hatteras Village, and he says the community is dedicated to rebuilding.
Everybody's upbeat. You know, I talked to a couple of the people that just lost everything. I mean, they were in their home, and all of a sudden, their home is gone. The Hardisons, they had to cling to a tree, and their house is gone, but yet they're smiling and upbeat, and life goes on.
Indeed, many families on this tranquil island have been here 4 or 5 generations, and they've learned to be unusually self-sufficient, even in a crisis. John Hooper, the county commissioner, says residents are coping well with their unexpected isolation, and with the ocean now quiet and the skies now clear, Hooper says he can't think of any place else he'd rather be stranded. Adam Hochberg, NPR News, on the North Carolina Outer Banks.